Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Hallelujah. Boy, I have enjoyed today. I tell you what, nothing excited me more to so far today than seeing these girls and boys getting baptized. I'm telling you, to see their expression and to know that God has really touched their hearts and brought them out of a depth that they couldn't get out of, just like all of us couldn't get out of it, couldn't fix ourselves, couldn't even help ourselves. But God did. God knows how. And, you know, don't give up on anybody. Just keep sharing the gospel with everybody. And God's, you know, we plant, we cultivate, we plant, we sow. And the Bible says that God gives the increase. I honestly believe there's going to be more increase in salvations and growth in the body of Christ. How about you? I'm looking for it. I'm believing it. And no matter what everything else says out in the world, we are Father's Vineyard. We love God, love people, and make a difference. Yeah, the thing is on. That's great. Good job. I want to talk to you. I tell you what, the music today just lined up perfectly with the message that I believe God wants me to give today. I want to talk to you about, let's see if I'm going to do this right. Is this right? Is that right? Is that right? Is this right? Did I do that or did y'all do that? You did it? Am I not on? Oh, I had it upside down. It said no. I get it. I'm messing with you. Let me see if I can back up. Yep. Hey, it's working. Yep. If I can slow down here. I should have left a good thing alone. Look at that. I'm going to talk to you about... I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to talk to you today about answering Jesus, answering the prayer of Jesus. It comes out of John 17. But how many of you know that in this world we have so much chaos, we have so much division and divisiveness that's rampant throughout the earth. And it doesn't stop with just the world. It goes into families, it goes into churches, it goes wherever it has the freedom to go. And this is talking about the division and divisiveness. And we see it all over. We see people at each other's throats. We see people not caring, not loving, not serving, especially in the Christian world. I'm not painting a bad picture. I'm just painting a picture that we need to correct. And but you know, we have a lot of people that are asking why is there so much division in, you know, around, and why is there so much lack of unity in the church? You know, but we have to know and understand that there are divisions, and we need to address them. Sadly, those are the ones that are asking the questions are not looking to the Bible for the answers. When you have issues, the best place to look is the Scriptures. You know, we did this song about His Word, and I'm telling you, at His Word, creation tells His story. Amen. So, anyway, so we went back. So let's see if we can get this. I'm thinking of going forward. No, I went backwards. This is forward. This is forward. Here we go. I love it. I think I'm just going to have to let you do it, I guess, because it's advancing slides when I'm not pressing the button. Anyway, let's see. We need to go, let's see. I'm looking for Proverbs. There it is. Thank you, Russell. Thank you, Russell. You know, I love life, and everything that you plan does not always work out. Is that true? Here, before we get into this thing about divisiveness and how to handle it, this is out of Proverbs 4. It says, above all, everybody say, above all else.
Above all else.
Now, that means something. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity, which is division, and from your mouth, and keep corrupt, prideful talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet, and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. I want you to understand that above all else, he says, above all else, guard your heart. You have to guard your heart, and in the process of guarding your heart, it will impact what you say. Amen? If we guard our hearts correctly, and according to God's word, it will impact our mouth, it'll impact what we say, it'll impact our eyes, it'll impact how we see. How we see things, it will impact us. And also it'll impact our walk, our feet, and how we walk. So that is the reason that the Lord in his word here says, make sure above all else that you have guarded your heart. You have guarded the seat of your affections. You guard the seat of your affections. And that's what this word means, it's heart. But when you look at the scriptures, God has a lot to say about divisions, especially divisions that are in the church. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians was the very thing talking about divisions. If you go to the next one, there it is. Now I exhort you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and there be no... What's the rest of it? Among you. That there'll be what? There'll be what? No divisions among you. But you may be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Cleo's people, that there are quarrels among you. Next. Now, I mean this. Paul said, he's emphasizing, now I mean this. And he says that each of you are saying, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and I am of a Christ. Has Christ been divided? That's a question. Has Christ been divided? No. Paul was not crucified for you. Was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? See, here you begin to see that the Christians in Corinth were divided upon the who's who thing. They were divided on who do I like the best. It was like a popularity culture that had been built in the church, saying, well, I'm of Apollos, I'm of him, I'm of Paul, and one says, I'm of Christ. See, I was already beginning to be built up that people's minds were navigating to the popularity culture. Who's more popular or who they like the most? See, Paul addresses this and says, you know, this is, you've got quarrels among you, and I believe it's true because I'm telling you, this has to end. You know, this had for us to be able to start dividing because, well, I like him, but I don't like him. I like his speaking, but I don't like his speaking. Or I like her speaking, I don't like hers. You know. But see, we have got to learn to be able to. When Jesus told us that we could actually learn from a little child, he was telling us that listen to people, be quick to hear people. No matter what they look like, no matter if they're male or female, be quick to hear people. Even sometimes your enemy will tell you the truth if you're listening. Your enemy may not be telling the truth about something, but in that something, there may be some truth that you need to hear. Does that make sense? So Jesus is telling us, you know, this is not the way we do. And one standing does not depend, where we are in our standing does not depend on how we are with God. Doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter. I'm gonna be honest with you. Doesn't matter how long you've been to school. You can be educated and not follow God. You can be ignorant in our education, uneducated, and follow God with all of our heart. So it's not about the status. So they were making status the thing to migrate to in their walk with God. Now they're choosing between them. And Paul said, no, I'm not the one to baptize. It's all about him. And if he can speak through a donkey, somewhere along the line, he may speak to me. Somewhere along the line, he speaks to us in ways that we cannot discount people because they're not what you think they are or what they need to be in your mind. Because Jesus can show up through the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and if we're not careful, we won't know he's here if he comes in a different form. So we've got to be able to see by the Spirit of God. Let's go to the next one. That was in chapter 1. Now it's in chapter 3. He said, brethren, I could not speak to you as spiritual men. See, I can't talk to you as spiritual men, but as men of the flesh. He's talking about, now I've got to talk to you because of your carnality. There's only certain things I can tell you because of your carnality. And as babes in Christ, I gave you milk to drink and solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Here's something we need to understand, that we can be Christians, we can be born again believers, and still have carnality working in our lives, it, as such, not hear what God has to say. And not even be able to discern it. We'll talk about that in just a moment. So he goes on and he said, you're not able to see it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able. He said, I've waited for it, but even now you're still not up. You're still fleshly. You're still fleshly. Didn't mean you're not born again, he says, but you're still operating with the carnality, with fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men? See, you can be born again and yet walk like mere men. Well, what does walking like mere men mean? It means that your conduct and your behavior is opposing God. Mere men. Just mere men without any spiritual being, without any spiritual thought. It's just we're walking as mere men. Just what anybody, any other man would do. See, that's what carnality will do. And that's what operating in the flesh will do. And it will bring quarrels and it will bring divisions in the house. And we need to make sure we stay away from it. But anyway, let's go on because I've got some other things to cover with you. The enemy manipulates our natural and cultural distinctions as well as social, political, and religious agendas and turns them into reasons to be divided. What does that mean? The enemy's at work trying his best to manipulate you in every situation where it's political, spiritual, social, even in our culture. He wants to manipulate it in a way that our agenda will actually be serving division because we're operating fleshly. Y'all hear that? So we need to understand that is happening. Next. We must be aware that if we continue to use carnal or fleshly thinking as a means of defending the truth, listen to this, as a means of defending the truth, if we use that, we will instead actually be reinforcing the deceptions. We'll think we're defending the truth when actually we have a deception because we're operating carnally in what we think is right. Y'all understand that? Okay. And why is that? Why would we be reinforcing the deceptions next? Because it says in Romans 8, the carnal mindset focuses on the flesh, fights God. It actually said it's an enemy of God. It fights God's plan and refuses to submit to his direction because it cannot. Look at that again. The carnal mindset focuses on the flesh. Is that out of Romans chapter 8, verse 7? Fights God's plan and refuses to submit to his direction because it cannot. See, being fleshly and carnal, you cannot, you won't. You won't be able to submit to the things of God. Because why? You cannot see it. You can't discern it. So we've got to move away from being carnal and making sure that we grow in our spiritual walk with God, that the fleshly things don't pull us or we get manipulated by the enemy in the fleshly things to be able to resist God's plans for our life. Okay, what's next? Jesus' disciples were known to argue about their position and were frequently subject to carnal ideas and hidden agendas. Really, they were. I mean, a lot of people look at them like, well, man, they're just great. Listen, they had a lot of problems. They really did. One time they're walking along and they're telling Jesus, a couple of them telling Jesus, you know, this town we're going to, they really don't like you. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll call down the fire and just burn the city up. Isn't that a great follower of Christ? What was happening? The carnality said, not they're opposing us, and just because you're opposing us, we'll burn the place down. Jesus said, you do not know the spirit that you are of. What were they doing? They were following the fleshly, carnal spirit as mere men, and they were, but they were walking with the very Christ creator himself. So we have these things going on. So they were, one was a educated tax collector, an IRS agent. So and then some were fishermen, unlearned fishermen. Peter was a zealot. I mean, you know, he was like, everything. Let's just go for it. You know, whatever it is. I mean, you know, think about this. They're arresting Jesus and Peter just, I mean, they're taking Jesus and Peter just whoosh, and whacks off a man's ear. It's just like, boom. Then Jesus has to, what? Pick it up and put it back on. Imagine that. Now, these guys had problems. They really did. But they was walking with God and they were learning. But see, they were learning as they were going that this is not the right way. This is not the right way. This is not the best way to do this. And that's what we do. As we, once being born again, we start walking with him. But we're in the process of being perfected. We're in the process of becoming more mature, knowing what we need to know. So let's do the next thing. See, they were divided along many lines, yet Jesus did not sanction their divisions. Neither did he lower his expectations to the carnality of his disciples. He saw everywhere he saw the divisions, he addressed it. He didn't sanction what they were doing. He didn't say, oh, yeah, go ahead and burn it. I won't have to put up with them then. No. Wasn't any of that. No, he didn't sanction any of that. He addressed the spirit they were of. Amen. To make the change. And he didn't lower his expectations. Instead, what did Jesus do? Jesus prayed for their standards to be raised to the oneness of the Godhead. He prayed for their standards of living to be raised, not in carnality, but to be raised to the oneness of the Godhead. What's next? Jesus gave three fundamental truths which he said would lead his church into the state of oneness. Would you like to know what they are? Okay. See, this is our learning, and this is where the Lord is taking us today. So let's go to the next one. John, you can go here if you'd like. John 17:11. I am no more in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. These are red letters, by the way. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep them in thy name. This is your first one. I'm in a song about his name. His name, his name, his name. The name which thou hast given me, that they may be one. Here's the oneness. He don't want divisions. He wants us to be one. He said, the first thing I'm giving you is his name. He's keeping you in his name. And when you begin to see that, you see that he is saying, this is the name that he's given me. So it's the name of Jesus, in his name. In his name. When you begin to see the work in his name, you begin to see that his name is powerful. Yes? I mean, I can't give all of it to you today. I don't have the time. Demons are powerless in his name. Demons are cast out in his name. Healing occurs in his name. Salvation comes in his name. Baptism is in his name. And you begin to see bondages are broken in his name. Deliverance comes in his name. That's the reason he said, you are in his name positionally. You are in his name, and then you use his name to do what he wants to do through you and through me. So his name is extremely important. But see, this is not something that you attain by works. This is your position when you say yes to God. You repent of your sin and say yes to God. He said he's put you in his name. Amen. Authority comes. You hear me? So he's looking to Jesus, said, it's one thing about the divisions that you're going to become one is to be able to operate in his name. Amen? What's next? So his name is a positional oneness. Next. John 17:14 says, I have given them thy word. That's point number two. Point number two is I've given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask thee to take them out of the world. Boy, I wished he had a. Just go ahead. They're born again. Go ahead and get them out of here. You know, heard one pastor say one time, says, you know, I think what I need to do is everybody that I lead to the Lord after they get saved, I just shoot them. You know, he said, because there are a lot of problems for me a little bit later. Why? Well, growing up gets messy, right? Growing up gets messy. We need to know how to do that, deal with the mess as well. Said, keep them in the world, but keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them with the truth. Thy word is truth. As thou didst send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Watch that. As Jesus was sent into the world, he said, I have sent them. He has sent you and I into this world, just like Jesus was sent. Oh, that's powerful, isn't it? Sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask in behalf of these alone. This is important. Watch this. I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me, watch this, through their word. Through their word. And he goes on and says, that they may all be, say it, one. One. See, no divisions. One. So this thing about, not yet. So this thing about praying for those, or he prays for those to believe, that those that believe in him through their word. When you study this, this means these people that have believed and they're proving it through their word. In the Greek, it talks about saying the same thing that he's saying. In other words, they've tasted how good he is. They've experienced how good he is. They're saying everything that's good about him and saying everything about him that needs to be said to everybody else. So now they hear his word, and they're walking in his word, and then they begin to say through their word what he's saying. He says, these two. Why? Because they're one. He wants all of us to be one. So we have to start saying what he's saying. Then it leaves some of that fleshly stuff out, right? Have you ever wanted to say something, then all of a sudden you go, yeah, well, see, you have the Holy Spirit, and one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. All of a sudden you pricked in your heart about something, and you say, I better not say that. Not at this time, anyway, all right? Okay. It goes on. So the second fundamental truth that Jesus reveals in his prayer is his word, and that is a functional oneness. First is his name is a position. I'm in him. I'm in his name, and I can use his name. Even when I pray what? In the name of Jesus. And he said, man, if you just ask what you want and you say it in the name of Jesus, and then he says, my Father will do what? He'll answer it. See, it's power. You know, it's just not a script that we put at the end of our prayer, in Jesus' name, amen. No. It's not just, it is from a heart. Said, I am in him, he's in me, I have his name, and I've given him who I am, and I'm asking this on behalf of this person, to God in the name of Jesus. So don't make it just something that we tack on at the end of our prayer. Don't make his word something that we just read and don't do. Jesus said, hear the word, but do it. If you just hear it and don't do it, whatever you're building, whenever the pressure comes, it's gone. The winds, the rains, and the floods. Why? Because it wasn't on solid foundation. We can't just have a devotional life that means we'll read a devotional. Nothing wrong. We have them. We have some great devotional. We really do. But it doesn't mean just to read that, close it up, and you're done for the day. It's a great starter. It's a great thing to acknowledge him and have something that he's going to be speaking to you through the devotional. But then you're going to pick it up and run with it because it's his word. You're going to meditate on it. You're going to reflect on it. Amen? Let's see what's next. This thing about his word, it says 2 Timothy, there's a lot of scriptures that we could give about his word. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for what? Teaching, for reproof, and for correction. And for training in righteousness. That's what his word does. All of that. That the man of God may be what? Equipped for every good work. You want to be equipped for every good work? Let the word of God that's inspired, God breathed, let it teach you, reprove you, and correct you, and train you. Which means you have to yield to his word. You have to get to know him through his word. Next, I'm going to give you something from, this is out of the Passion Translation, the same scripture. God has transmitted his very substance into every scripture. For it is God-breathed. It will empower you by its instruction and correction. Empowered by its instruction and correction, giving you the strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper into the path of goodness. Boy, that's powerful. Next. Then you will be God's servant, fully mature and perfectly prepared to fulfill any assignment that God gives you. So that comes from his word. Okay, next. Here's the third one. His name, and then his word, and then watch this. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them that they may be one. This is glory.
just as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity. You want to be perfected in unity? You're going to have to be in contact with his glory. You're going to be in contact with his name, his word, and his glory. And it goes on and it says, that the world might, watch this, that the world may know that thou didst send me. You want the world to know that Jesus was sent? It's going to be by perfected unity. We can't have church to church. We can't get along. See, God is not pleased with that. Okay. Perfected in unity, that thou didst, that they'll know that thou didst send me and didst love them even as thou didst love me. What's next? His glory. What is his glory? His glory is his nature, his character, and his presence. His nature, his character, and his presence. How that comes about is over in Exodus chapter 33, Moses' prayer was, he said, what did he pray to God? Show me your glory. And what does he do? Well, he can't see his face, so he tucks him away and hides him in the cleft of the rock. And then he sends his character by. His goodness, his graciousness, and his compassion. And then he goes on and said, that's me showing you my glory. That's the reason that Jesus said, as you have given me glory, I have given glory to them. What is that? It's not that you have a halo or you're shining, not any of that. What is it? He said, I've given them my character. The character of Jesus is already in you. The love of Jesus is already in you. The graciousness, the compassion. We haven't learned how to walk out what he's already given. A lot of us think, and legalists will try to say, you got to work this up. No, you got to work this out because it's already in you. So you have to stay connected to what he's put in you, and he's put his character already in you. That's the reason everything that he tells you to do, he's already equipped you to do it. When he says love everybody, when he says love your enemies, he's not leaving it up to me and you to work that up so we can love them. It's impossible. But the love that he's already given us, we connect and we begin to walk and surrender to that character inside us, and then we're able to do everything that he tells us to do. Why? He's already supplied it. So it's his name, his word, and his glory. See, this glory is about the living oneness, and it's about his presence. Why? Because he goes on and he says that I am in you as I am in the Father and the Father in me. That's his presence. You carry the presence of God with you everywhere you go. He's already there. Why? He said, I'm in them. I've given them my character. We just got to mature in what he's given us. Next. A divided world needs a united church. Let that sink in. A divided world needs a united church. Let's go next. This last scripture. He says this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, appeal and beg. This is out of the Amplified. Appeal and beg you to walk, lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you have been called, with behavior that is credit, that is a credit to the summons of God's service. Next. Living as becomes you with complete lowliness of mind, humility, and meekness, unselfishness, kindness, and mildness. With patience, bearing with one another. Say that. Bearing with one another. We're all at different places. Bear with us. Bear with each other. Help each other. Be tolerant with each other as we walk together. Bearing with one another and making allowances because you love one another. Make an allowance. Be eager
and strive earnestly to guard and keep the harmony and oneness of and produced by the Spirit in the binding power of peace. Powerful scripture. So let's go to the next one. We need to become the answer to the prayer of Jesus. This is Jesus' prayer that he's praying to the Father. Make them one. Give them your name and keep them in your name. In his name. Give them your word. I've given them the word. As you've given me the word, I've given them the word. And understand that we need to continue to let that word begin to teach us how to walk, teach us how to act, teach us what to say, teach us what to do when it's wrong, teach us what to do when it's right, to instruct us, to reprove us. Amen? And then he gives us his glory, his character. We need to understand that those three things are what Jesus is saying that he's praying for, that we become one by all three of these things and be perfected in unity, because that's his plan for us. We must endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, which is the bond of peace. That is work. That's not following after the flesh. That's not following after the moment. That's not following after the circumstance. That's not following after the situation. It's following after him. Saying, I'm making it, which it means to work together to keep peace, to keep unity, the unity of the Spirit, the oneness of the Spirit of God. That's his message for us today. That's what he wants us to do. I'm telling you, when we are able to swallow this, eat this, digest this, and keep it, and ask the Holy Spirit to keep it in the forefront of who we are and our thinking, we will be able to make a huge difference no matter where we go. Why? Because we're not following the carnality. Anybody can be carnal. Everybody can be carnal and fleshly. But God says there's certain things that you will not be given because you can't hear it if you live carnally while saying, I'm a Christian. And you are a Christian. You can be carnal. You can walk carnally and fleshly and be a Christian. But he's addressing it saying, here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk in my name, live in my name, operate in my name, because that's your position. Then I want you to function in my word. As you learn my word, you'll be able to do the things and let it train you and keep you in the place that you need to be so you can do everything that he wants you to do. And then you have his character and his glory. You have his nature. He said, I've made you a new creature. That's the reason you have his nature. I made you a new creature, a new creation. And he's given you the character of God inside you. And he's perfecting that as we walk with him each day of our life. Got it? Got it. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this time we have. Thank you for your word. Lord, it's a stirring word in all of us. Let us hear what you have to say, and let us be able to walk in it. Let us build everything from here on based on these things to keep divisions away and to keep oneness intact. We love you. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.